Amateur Traveler, episode 828. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about a zoo, a shrine, and the Oregon Trail, one cave, 500,000 cranes, and Carhenge as we go on a road trip in Nebraska. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Nebraska. I'd like to welcome to the show Olivia Weisler from oliviaweisler.wixsite.com, who's come to talk to us about the beautiful state of Nebraska. Olivia, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much. I'm so excited. Super passionate about my home state, so ready to talk about it.
That would be the connection that I was about to ask, is what's your connection to Nebraska, is that you live there.
Yes, I've grown up here. I only lived out of the state for about 4 years when I was in college, but even then I've made frequent trips back. Been a reporter out in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska for a couple years, and now I live in Lincoln. So yeah, I love the state. I've crisscrossed it multiple times. It's great.
Excellent. And why should someone come to Nebraska?
So Nebraska, I feel, is very underestimated. It's very beautiful. People always think it's flat and boring and nothing's there.
I think it's flat. Yes, I understand that.
But what many people don't realize is there's actually four different environments. There's the rolling hills from where I'm from along the Missouri River. I'm from northeastern Nebraska, so it's very hilly, very not flat. And then there's the flat prairie that everyone knows about. And then there is the sand hills, which is also very hilly and everything. And then you get out super far to western Nebraska, the panhandle, where most people forget about it. It's actually super beautiful. A lot of bluffs, rock formations, starts to get drier, more desert-like. So there's four different things. And if you drive straight across Nebraska in the middle of the state, you'll hit all four of them. And it's beautiful.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
So I'm going to recommend kind of following the Oregon Trail historical path. It is along an interstate, and so the interstate is a little boring, but all the places and all the stops along the way are awesome. I might shoot us off into a couple of different directions just to hit off on a couple of like other day trip type things if people want to go a different direction than following the interstate. But that's
and we're going to do this from east to west like the pioneers did?
Yes. I thought about what if we went backwards and it just didn't feel right. We're going to start it. We'll start in Omaha. A lot of the major airlines fly into there, so you can easily start in Omaha. I know you talked a lot about Omaha in the last Nebraska episode, so we won't spend too much time on that. But you can't visit Omaha without visiting the Henry Dorley Zoo. I know that was mentioned last time, but it's just an incredible zoo. Full day affair. It's got everything you could ever imagine. It has a bunch of world records for like largest indoor desert, largest indoor swamp, largest cat complex in North America. It's just huge. Definitely would recommend going there.
One of the top zoos in the nation is the thing you're not saying, right?
Yes. I did want to mention that it's often ranked up there with San Diego, which a lot of people don't realize. So usually those two zoos are vying for the top spot in the world. So yeah, it's amazing. Highly recommend. And then if you want to stay in Omaha a little bit, in South Omaha, there's a lot of different cultural centers. We just started doing some murals that represent all the different cultures. If I remember correctly, they've got the Hispanic, they've got the Native American, some, I think they have some Czech and some Polish communities in there. It's very diverse, which a lot of people don't think of diverse in Nebraska. That's definitely an opportunity there as well.
Anything else we want to do in Omaha?
There's a lot of other things to do in Omaha, but like I said, we won't spend too much time there because the goal is to go on the road trip, which is out west. Okay. We will continue on down. If you follow I-80 and start going towards Lincoln, there is actually a really cool, it's called the Holy Family Shrine. It's near Gretna, Nebraska. It's very unique architecture. It's a Catholic chapel that was built because some individuals just felt the need that there needed to be some kind of presence there. But it's super peaceful. It's very beautiful. very unique structure.
So. Yeah, I'm trying to describing this is one of those things that for those of you who are looking at the pictures that the show has embedded, it might make more sense. I get some sort of Viking longship kind of style. I don't know how to describe this very wooden cross beam, interesting, very ultra modern.
Yes, very ultra modern and very, just unique. It's hard to describe without looking at a picture of it. So it's called the Holy Family Shrine. Definitely recommend.
And it's in the middle of nowhere.
Kind of, yeah. It's like in between Omaha and Lincoln. You can see it from the interstate, so you can hop off. But once you get there, it's very remote and you can just hang out, maybe have a little picnic out there or just spend some time meditating. It's a really nice, quiet area, despite being right off the interstate.
Okay.
Yeah. So that would be stop number one. Moving along, we would hit Ashland, Nebraska. There's actually what they call a wildlife safari park there, which is super interesting. They have like black bears, I believe, buffalo, elk, some different birds, waterfowl, and you can just, it's like a drive-through park. And you can also, there's a bunch of nature trails as well, so you can hike that as well, but it's different because you don't think of bears being in Nebraska. The bears are domesticated a little bit. Not domesticated, but what's the word? They're enclosed.
Sure.
Yeah, but all the other animals, they'll walk up to you, they'll walk up to the car. The buffalo, I think, is a huge crowd pleaser. So just don't make them mad.
Oh my, yes.
But yeah, it's a great opportunity to learn a little more about the wildlife that's in North America. A lot of people are more excited about the exotic, but it's great to realize what we have here at home.
Yeah, you say don't get the buffalo mad. We've talked about this in the show before, but they can run 35 miles an hour and they're very big. You versus car versus buffalo, not a good experience.
Yes.
I know in Teddy Roosevelt National Park, they had a diagram of where you could touch a buffalo and it was all just labeled, not here, no way, nuh-uh, no. Oh yeah, don't touch a buffalo. Don't touch a bison.
Yes, don't. Your
stay away.
Yeah, don't touch the animals, just admire them from a distance. It's a great opportunity for photos and stuff too. There's bald eagles, all that kind of thing. So great for bird watchers as well. It's just a nice outdoor adventure, I guess you could say.
Okay.
So from there, we'll head to Lincoln. And assuming you spent a day at the Omaha Zoo, that would be a day. And then driving to these little pieces would be about a day as well. Lincoln, we'd probably spend another day or two here if you'd like, depending on what you're interested in. I will spend a little more time on Lincoln just because that's where I live now. It's a very interesting city in that it's the second largest city in Nebraska, but it has this small town feel. And even though, and especially because it's a college town too, there's 4 or 5 different colleges within the city, I believe. And the most prevalent one being UNL, of course, University of Nebraska. Go Huskers. But yeah, it just is a very small town vibe, which is very, I think, unique. And I think it comes from Nebraska's full of small towns. So a lot of the small town people who come all over from Nebraska come to Lincoln. And so it just has that, everybody knows people, everyone kind of gets along, everyone's super friendly. So I love that about Lincoln. It's pretty easy to navigate around. It does have public transportation, but renting a car might be the easiest way to get around. And that goes for this whole itinerary. Since we'll be traveling across the state, renting a car is probably your best bet, or bringing your own car.
And if we have a day and a half in Lincoln, where are you going to prioritize we spend our time?
If you can get into a Husker game, you obviously want to go to a Husker football game. Okay. Longest sellout record, so you have to know someone to get the tickets. But if you don't want to do that, I would spend some time in the downtown area. It's called the Haymarket District. It's just got a really awesome atmosphere. It's got ice cream shops, coffee shops. It's got some different vintage stores, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. One of my favorite restaurants down there is actually called Screamers.
Okay.
And it's basically a restaurant where you can, it's like a dinner and a show, the show being your waiters and waitresses singing for you. So you get to eat while you're being serenaded. And they also have a lot of different events. And one of the first things that I did when I moved here, we went there to Screamers and they had a comedian. So we had dinner, the opening acts was like the waiters and the waitresses singing, and then we had the comedian come and he was giving out all the laughs. It's a lot of fun. I think it was started originally by some UNL students that were a cappella students maybe, or they were just music majors who wanted an outlet outside of school. Yeah, it's a great place. Highly recommend. And in order to be a waiter or waitress there, you have to audition. You're not just applying for a waitressing job. You have to audition and actually be selected, which I thought was interesting. From there, I think I would recommend us going out to James Arthur Vineyard. It's the largest vineyard in Nebraska, and the wine is amazing. You can actually try some of their wine in downtown Nebraska. They have a little tasting room. I think the gift shop is called like From Nebraska or something. It's like a little gift store with all Nebraska made products and stuff like that. And so they have a little tasting room in there. I love their wine. They give you a little handout where they have, I don't know, 25 wines, different wines that you can then mark off which ones you like, which ones you don't. And then they usually use that for like how you're ordering your samples. I kept my sheet so that way I could look back at it and be like, okay, these are the wines that I like. And it's super helpful. So I'm able to go back and grab some wines. They actually had two holiday wines as well that I just purchased. So their wine is really great. I highly recommend. They have the sweet, they have the dry, they have a great dessert wine. So yes, it's amazing. And out on Arthur's Vineyard, they actually do some different events and stuff like any other vineyard usually does. So it's a lot of fun. Have some really friendly cats there. So if you love cats, they got them as well. Yeah. After that, if you are here in the fall season, I would also highly recommend Rocaberry Farm, which is outside of Lincoln, but it's a huge pumpkin patch with all kinds of family fun. But the part that I think a lot of people enjoy the most is that it turns into Roca Scary Farm at night.
Okay.
And I'm not huge on haunted houses, that kind of thing, but all my friends are, so we went, and it's definitely scary. They have three different things that you can do. They have their haunted house. And then they have a kid's haunted house, which isn't supposed to be as scary. I still thought it was scary, but that's me. And then they also have a haunted maze, psychopath, which is like going, it's like a haunted corn maze, basically. They have people running after you, people scaring you, all the good stuff like that. And it's a lot longer than I was expecting it to be. So it's very well done. And then the third attraction that they have is called the Haunted Hayride. And so you get on to the back of a trailer and you go through all these different little kind of like towns, like little miniature towns that are all haunted and have their own theme and everything like that. And some of the creatures will come up, and I say, call them creatures, the actors, they come up on your trailer and scare you. And yeah, it's intense, but definitely worth it if you're super interested in haunted things around the Halloween spooky season.
And it seems like even if you're not and you've got kids, they've got a railway, low ropes course, slides of all kinds, trampoline. And so a lot of stuff for families.
Yeah, if you go during the day, it's got a huge amount of attractions for families. Yeah, slides, food,
petting zoo,
pumpkins, all of it. So the Capitol Building is in Lincoln as well. That's a great place if you're interested in Nebraska history and architecture. Very interesting. You can do guided tours there or you can go yourself. The guided tours are free and those go from like 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. And then on the weekends, it's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. it looks like. It's a great place. We went there when I was younger, and it's a great place to learn more about Nebraska history, the relationship between the Native Americans and the government, pioneers, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff goes into detail and has some really cool art as well. One of my favorite places that I've been so far in Lincoln is actually called the Sunken Gardens. And that is a large park area that's just filled with flowers. It's filled with all kinds of nature, and they have a different theme every year. The 2022 theme was a wonderland. It's maintained by UNL students and volunteers. It's been ranked as one of the top 300 gardens to visit in the United States and Canada. It's just super beautiful, a great place to spend some time, have a picnic, just hang out in some really beautiful nature. I really enjoyed it because it was obviously very photogenic. So me being a photographer and a former journalist, I just love taking photos of all the floral. It's been a more, I don't want to say run down, but not as rich of a community as some other places in Lincoln.
It's a renovation project.
Yeah, it was a renovation project. It was meant to spruce up the look of that part of Lincoln. It was done really well. There's also a really nice, interesting waterfall monument thing. It's not a waterfall in the typical sense. It's like one of those statue things where water's coming down off of it. It's man-made, but it's very beautiful. If you are interested in quilts or roller skating, Lincoln is the city for you. The international
there is a quilt roller skating museum.
Not necessarily, but there is an international quilt museum and the National Museum of Roller Skating. So both of those, two different things, but both of them are the top of those communities, the top museums in those communities. Over 6,000 quilts at the International Quilt Museum from 65 different countries. They date back to the 1600s, I believe, and it's the world's largest publicly held quilt collection. It's really interesting. They have different exhibits on all the time. They do travel a little bit. That's how I actually learned about them. They had traveled out to Gearing, Nebraska for an exhibit, which was really interesting.
Okay. Now, a quilting museum I'm used to, but a roller skating museum is more unusual. I would have to say that's the first one. Why Lincoln, Nebraska and a roller skating museum?
Not entirely sure, but I was looking at it, and I have actually never been in it yet, but I drive past it every day on my way to work, and I've always wondered, where did this come from? But they just decided that's where all of the archives were going to be. It's partnered with USA Roller Sports. So it's like the official museum for all things roller skating, like roller derby, roller skating, roller blading, all of that kind of stuff. So it started in 1980, it looks like, and it's the largest collection of roller skating items in the world. So if you have an interest in roller skating, that's where you'll find everything you need to know.
And apparently, the United States Amateur Roller Skating Association and the U.S. Confederation of Roller Skating later became U.S. Roller Sports are headquartered in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, I guess Lincoln just needed something. Well, you know, our football team isn't the greatest, so we thought maybe we could do better at roller skating. Maybe, I don't know. Don't tell anyone I said that, but
no, it's just between you and me.
The last stop in Lincoln is just outside of Lincoln. It's called Robber's Cave. You don't think of caves being in Nebraska, but this is underground, under Lincoln. It was once a brewery, but it was considered like a place where a lot of the Western troublemakers and Native Americans used it, and allegedly this is all it hasn't really been proven yet, but it's been like a hideout spot for people for a long time. It actually was not open too long ago that it was open to tours and everything. You can take tours of it. You can actually hold events in it, which is interesting. There's drawings all over the wall, initials. It's rumored to have been used by Jesse James and some of the other outlaws of the West. I did see somewhere that at one time it was used, I think, during the Prohibition era, you know, an underground speakeasy thing. I think so. It's really interesting. It's got a lot of history behind it. So if you're interested in learning a little more about the historical aspects of, like, behind the scenes of the outlaws and Native Americans and stuff like that, it's very interesting. So yeah, so that's Lincoln. From here, we'll go to Grand Island first.
Okay.
So in Grand Island, that is where you'll probably get the best view of crane season. 500,000 sandhill cranes come and visit the north every year in March. Grand Island has quite a few different guided tours that you can take. There's the Audubon Row Sanctuary, Crane Trust. Those are paid guided tours, and you can go see the cranes and everything. If you are just wanting to view it on your own and not have to worry about being taken on a guided tour or anything, there are public viewing decks that are nearby as well. But it's quite a feat, really, that you see that many sandhill cranes, that many large birds all in one area. And I actually am planning to go see this next March when they come visit. So I'm excited for that. It'll be the first time that I'll see it, but it's a photographer's dream. It's very majestic from what many people have told me. And yeah, there's a lot of viewing opportunities. And I think Grand Island is probably one of your best places to see that. Okay. And actually, through Grand Island is what we call the National Sandhills Journey Scenic Byway. So the National Sandhills Journey Scenic Byway is 272 miles long from Grand Island to Alliance. And it's what one person actually called, it's not something special to see, it's a special nothing to see. It's super wide open space. But I think what's great about that is that it's just super peaceful. There's just rolling hills for miles, and it's just a time where you can just relax and meditate. And I think that's what the cool thing about Nebraska is, that's super wide open. And while that loses all the hustle and bustle of a lot of big cities, it does create a time of relaxation, I feel like. It's away from all of the noise.
And this kind of begs the question of, when I see the pictures of driving the scenic byway, I'm seeing pictures that I would say are likely summer pictures or late spring or early autumn. This is going to look very different in winter. So this road trip, when are you recommending is the best time to do this?
Yes. So I would say, yeah, fall or spring is probably the best time to visit. Winter is my favorite season, but if you're doing a road trip, it can get a little dicey. The weather is a little unpredictable in Nebraska. It can be 80 degrees one day and below two the next. I would suggest early fall, late spring for this kind of a road trip.
But like this particular road, we're not going to be seeing a lot of fall color because there's not a lot of trees.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I was wondering, for instance, are there a lot of wildflowers in spring? So it might make better sense to do it in the spring than it would in fall, or just if it's going to be different between those two seasons.
I don't think it'll be too different between those two seasons because, it's a lot of the colors are going to be the same because that's where it starts to turn into more of a deserty.
Sure. Shortgrass prairie now. Yeah.
Yep. All you're really worrying about is the ice on the roads and that kind of thing. So you want to avoid that. But if you're deciding between fall and spring, fall, I feel like I enjoy the fall a little more. The desert colors make a little more sense there. And it's just, I feel like there's a lot more things going on. People are getting excited and for the winter season, a lot of events happening, fall festivals, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. Although, if we're going down from Grand Island, we want to go down to Hastings, they do have what is called Kool-Aid Days.
Okay.
Which happens in the summertime, August. So still starting into the fall. Kool-Aid was actually invented in Hastings, Nebraska.
Okay.
So if you're wanting to learn more about where that delicious soft drink came from, they've got a museum. The Hastings Museum has an exhibit all year round about Kool-Aid. And then they celebrate everything that there is to do with Kool-Aid Days. And I think they have even like different Kool-Aid booths, so you can try different flavors. They have all kinds of other things that a lot of other festivals have, but they even have, I believe they have a beauty show where you're Miss Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid is huge in Hastings.
All right, then.
From there, we'll head out to Kearney, Nebraska, one of my favorite places in Nebraska, and I actually just discovered it not too long ago. It's called the Archway. It's this huge bridge that goes over I-80, and I shouldn't say I discovered it not too long ago. It's hard to miss. But I
was just being told by a coworker who's going to be doing the drive from Denver to Chicago. He said, of course, he'll stop at the Archway in Kearney, Nebraska. And I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yes.
But he said it literally crosses I-80.
Yes. Yeah. And the awesome thing is that it's a museum. What I love about it, I have gone on this stretch so many times that I've never actually been in the Archway. I just thought it was a really cool looking bridge. And I stopped one time and was just curious because I heard that it was a museum. So I stopped and I went in, and it's an interactive museum that follows the transformation of the Oregon Trail and where it becomes I-80 today. And it follows like the history of the Oregon Trail and the California Trail and the Mormon Trail, gives you an idea of what it was like for pioneers back then, how difficult it was. And then it starts transforming, and it shows from that's where the railroad started taking place. And then from the railroad, that's when the road started taking place to travel along. And so it's super interesting to watch the transformation of this very common path that started back in the 1800s and how it still is a staple in Nebraska for traveling today. So I highly recommend it. I'm usually not super big into history. I think it's interesting, but I usually don't always go out of my way for it. But I loved the Archway. I loved it so much. It was so fascinating. I learned so much about the pioneers and what they had to go through. It tells a lot of different stories about individual pioneers. One of the cool parts about it too, like I said, it's interactive. You're going through this, you have like one of those listener things, but instead of like a narrator talking to you about all of these things, you're being told about it from the perspective of a pioneer or of someone who's traveling along this route. So it feels like you're traveling along with them together. And so it's amazing. When you go up into the Archway, you start on one floor and then you go up and you go over onto the other floor. So you like cross over I-80 multiple times while you're going through these exhibits. It's really cool. And you can see all the cars going underneath you. There's plenty of window opportunity and just to see out into the distance. So I love it. It's so interesting. Also in Kearney, nearby is Fort Kearney. It was a popular trading post along the Oregon Trail. That was the last place you could go to get any supplies or anything you needed before you braved the West. They still have the reconstructed building of the old Fort Kearney. So you can go in, you can see what was all there at that time. They have some artifacts and stuff like that. And then they also, they have hiking trails and everything like that. Hiking is a very large part of what you are able to do in Nebraska. So a lot of scenic routes there.
Okay.
So after all of that, you're going to probably be a little famished. I would strongly suggest stopping in Paxton, Nebraska at Ole's Big Game Steakhouse. Is a restaurant that is filled with taxidermy of all kinds of animals, but not just the normal hunting, like the deer and everything that you see here in Nebraska. There's elephants and giraffe and all kinds of giant animals, because the owner, the previous owner, I should say, was huge into big game hunting. And so if you have an interest in that, it's a great place to check out, get some good Nebraska steak there. And yeah, it's just an experience. You don't normally see big game taxidermy in the middle of nowhere.
All right.
So from there, continuing on with the Oregon Trail theme, if you want to make a stop in Ash Hollow State Historical Park, that is one place that you can see some original wagon ruts from the Oregon Trail, which is super fascinating. The ruts in Nebraska are not quite as clear to see, I feel, as the ones in Wyoming, but it is still okay. Super interesting to see. And of course, like all the other parks, there's a lot of other outdoor attractions and everything like that. Ash Hollow actually also has a cave that you can check out as well that was used, looks like, by the Plains Apache tribe. If you're interested in that, it'd be another great place to learn some more history and just experience history firsthand.
Okay.
From there, we will be driving a good distance to get to Bridgeport, Nebraska, which that is where Chimney Rock is. And in this area between like Bridgeport and Scottsbluff and Gearing, there are also some more wagon ruts, but you have to know where to go. Those ones are a lot harder to see and they're off the road. And some of them I think are like in private property and stuff. So make sure you know what you're doing, like where you're going before you get too carried away. But Chimney Rock is one of the biggest, most common landmarks along the Oregon Trail. And it's massive. It's not as impressive as it once was because it got struck by lightning a little while ago. And so cut in half. But yeah, but from a distance, it's, oh my gosh, it doesn't look as tall as it used to. But when you get up close, it is still a very impressive rock formation. They've got a tourist center there that you can learn some more about the Oregon Trail history. I think it's a pretty impressive thing. I think, if I can remember correctly, I don't know that you can walk and climb up on it, but I had talked with a historian while I was a reporter in Scottsbluff, and she was saying that before it was like taken over as a national park, it was like a hangout for high school students. And so okay. If you get close enough, you can probably see some of the names that were written in either from high school students in the 70s and 80s or from the pioneers back in the 1800s.
Really. We have left Highway 80 here because Scottsbluff is in line with Casper, Wyoming. And I see that both the Oregon Trail and the California Trails, there wasn't a single trail, went up through Casper, which the modern highways don't do. They go through the southern part of Wyoming. And we're now on the old road, the way back here in the time of the covered wagons.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. So we left I-80. I guess I should have said that. From Paxton, we left I-80 and went up onto Highway 26. And that's the direction that the old Oregon Trail took. Right. So that's where we're going to, we'll see Chimney Rock at Bridgeport. And then you'll keep following Highway 26 to get to Scottsbluff and Gearing, Nebraska. This place I feel like is very underrated. I love it here in Scottsbluff and Gearing. And I always say Scottsbluff and Gearing because they're very similar towns. They are just split by the North Platte River. You really can't tell the difference between the two. So they're considered part of the same community. But there is a little bit of a rivalry there, so I don't want to get too into that. But I do consider them kind of one area. In Scottsbluff and Gearing, that's where you're going to find the Scottsbluff Monument. It's actually just west of Gearing, if I'm getting my directions right.
You are getting your directions correct, yes.
Okay, perfect. But the Scottsbluff Monument is another landmark that was along the Oregon Trail. And actually, it has an interesting name background. I know the background of this name because I actually wrote an article about it. There's a legend behind who Hiram Scott is and how he actually died and why he was chosen as the namesake of this monument. But there's legends of he got mauled by a bear or he got left behind. He had some kind of illness. And so he was a fur trapper, I believe. Yep. And so he got left behind by his gang of people. And so he died up on this monument or on this bluff. No one actually really knows what happened to him or what made him a prominent person, because we don't know a whole lot about Hiram Scott. So no one knows why people thought he was the person to name this bluff after. But either way, that is Scott's Bluff. And I highly recommend hiking this monument. There's trails that go up this bluff and it is so beautiful. I can't even explain how it's just amazing. And the crazy thing is that when I first went up there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is still Nebraska. Because again, like I said at the beginning, everyone thinks Nebraska is flat. And this clearly is not flat. And we're actually, I should have mentioned this before, we're actually in a different time zone. We're in mountain time at this point. And and we're in a dry, deserty more climate. There's rattlesnakes, there's cactus. Like, this is the part of Nebraska nobody real thinks about. And so it's definitely just a sight to see. So I would highly recommend hiking that. I want to say it's like a mile and a half or so. It is a semi-paved, not really paved, but it's a trail that was made by humans to go up the trail. So it's not like, it's an easy hike.
It's a hike. You're not mountain climbing.
Exactly. You're not hiking a mountain or anything. There's a easy to follow path and everything. But yeah, and actually it's used as part of a monument marathon race that is held every year in September. Okay. And so it's actually considered one of the more difficult races because it goes up into the monument. You have to run up the monument and you're going down and you're in the desert and everything. So it's a tough race. And they have people from all over the nation and all over the world, really, that come to run this marathon. It's definitely fun. If you're into the whole running thing, they've got a 5K, a half marathon, a full marathon, and even a relay race. So it's a big deal. If you're here in the fall, again, so like the September timeframe, I believe, is when this takes place, they have what's called the Old West Balloon Fest. And it's actually, it had hosted the U.S. Nationals competition for the last few years. I think they have one more year for sure out there, but don't quote me on that. But it's either way, it's a great time. There's all kinds of balloons, hot air balloons that come from all over the country to participate, and they fly around. There's vendors. They even do what's called a night glow. And so they light up all of their hot air balloons in the evening. It's a lot of fun. And that was like the first hot air balloon festival that I had ever been to. So it's a lot of fun.
They are pretty cool.
Yeah. If you decide to brave the winter weather out in this area, in the downtown Gearing, they do have what's called Santa's Village. They have a small setup of different like play houses type of things for young children. Santa visits every year, reindeer visit every year. They're just kind of interactive, like a little North Pole type feel to it. And this is something that you don't really know about it. There's not any website for it or anything. It just kind of happens. But if you're here during December, it's up all December long. And it's a lot of fun for young children.
Looks like it starts right after Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yep. It follows the holiday parade that they have every year. And then, so if you didn't get enough of the rock formations while you're on Scott's Bluff Monument, if you go even a little further west and a little south, I believe, you get into the Wildcat Hills. And that is a bunch more bluffs and a lot of great hiking trails there. Somewhere in that area, I believe, is the Rubidoux Trading Post, which was another, like a fur trading outlet that was around there. I know it got moved recently, so I'm not sure if it's still, I can't remember where it moved exactly, but it was originally located near Cedar Canyon, which is within the Wildcat Hills. But that's another great place for hiking. They have a nature center there
it looks like the Rubidoux is in Gearing right now on D Street.
Oh, I'll have to look at that and see where they decided to put that. I didn't realize that they put it in town. But yeah, but the Wildcat Hills is another kind of one of the like off the Oregon Trail paths. Some of the people camped out that way. Fur traders, I think, used it a lot out there. But they do have a nature center, which is super interesting because they catch birds and they tag them and they send them back on their way. And so if you can catch one of those presentations, those are really unique as well. I'm actually...
Now really in Badlands geography at this point.
Yeah, so it's farther south there, but it's a great, I don't know, I love it because it's a great place for hiking and stuff like that. So by the time you're in Scottsbluff and Gearing, that's like towards the end. If you want to do like some other side trip type things, you could go to Mitchell, which is also where some of the hot air balloon stuff is. But in Mitchell, one of my favorite restaurants is called Marketplace and Company, and it's this tiny little town. But it has a fine dining restaurant in downtown. You're served like a 4-course meal. They have like high tea there. It's really an interesting little place. And so if you're into that, and it's pretty reasonably priced for a fine dining restaurant experience, I would highly recommend that. Okay. If you want to go farther south, you can go to Potter Sundry in Potter, Nebraska. That's where the Tin Roof Sundae was invented. And I will say the Tin Roof Sundae is the best sundae ever, and the best place they make it is at the Potter Sundry.
I'm not sure everybody is familiar with the Tin Roof Sundae, but you've got some, I know, peanuts on there, one of the things that it's on a Tin Roof Sundae.
Yeah, so it's like vanilla ice cream. I think there might be a little chocolate ice cream. I can't remember for sure. And then hot fudge, caramel, and peanuts on top. But they overflow it, and it's a very good sundae, very reasonably priced. And it's just in the tiny town of Potter. And while you're in Potter, you can also do what's called duck pin bowling, which is basically like miniature bowling, which is super interesting because this bowling alley is the furthest alley west of the Mississippi that's open. It's from my understanding. So if you're going any farther, you're not going to find another duck pin alley farther west, apparently.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. It's just something a little different. So it's a way to spend time in the small town, can do some downtown shopping, and it's just a very peaceful area.
Okay. One thing we should say, you talked about we're at the end of the road when we're in Mitchell or in Scotts Bluff. We're not actually at the end of the road. We're the end of the road. And if you wanted to, you could continue on and do a little more of that Oregon Trail and hit both Fort Laramie, Wyoming, as well as, and then you referred to the Guernsey ruts, and that's where you can see some of the other wagon ruts that are in a park over the border, though, into Wyoming. So you can extend your trip into that direction.
Yes, for sure. You can.
But we won't talk more about Wyoming.
Wyoming. No.
It's a whole other show.
Yes. But yeah, Wyoming is right there. So if you want to continue on, definitely hit those up. But I have just a couple other things that I was going to talk about. I talked about that scenic byway. If you took that highway from Grand Island all the way to Alliance, in Alliance, Nebraska, there is what is called Carhenge, which is Stonehenge made out of cars. And so if you can't make it to Europe for whatever reason, visit Alliance, Nebraska, and you can see it's basically a full replica just made out of automobiles instead. So it's very unique. You can't really find anything like it anywhere else. They've got some other automobile sculptures in the area, but that's always a favorite among Nebraska tourists. So, and then the last thing, if you're interested in history way, way back, you can head up to Harrison, Nebraska, which has the agate fossil beds. And this has fossils from the Miocene age, mammals from the Miocene age. If you're super interested in looking at those old fossils and everything, that's history from way before the Oregon Trail and everything. They also have at this place, they also have a large Native American collection of artifacts and stuff like that, because they were donated by a man named James H. Cook, who was really good friends with Chief Red Cloud. And so he donated all of the gifts that he was given from Chief Red Cloud to this. And so you can learn a lot about the Lakota and the Cheyenne Native American culture up at Agate.
Lakota were Sioux.
Lakota or Sioux?
Yeah, they're one of the great Sioux nations.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yep. But yeah, so that's the itinerary that I had. I did want to plug something called the Nebraska Passport Program, which if you want to see Nebraska and maybe you've already done the Oregon Trail or the Oregon Trail isn't really for you and you want to see other parts of Nebraska, this is a great program put on by Nebraska Tourism that basically they put 50 different small town or businesses, monuments, parks, all kinds of things like that are on this program or on this passport. And you try to hit as many as you can throughout the whole state. And this program goes on through the summer. And I believe it was born out of trying to get locals to visit more places in Nebraska, but it's a great place to, or a great way for out-of-staters to get to know the state as well. So it's
passport programs like that because they tell you about things you wouldn't have known.
Right, exactly. And so it's, yeah, there's stops all over the state. It's a different stops every year. I definitely recommend trying that out if you're wanting to stick around the state a little longer, or if you just need some more ideas for wherever you're at, wherever cool. in Nebraska you'd plan to visit. So, yeah.
Very good. As we get to some of our wrap-up questions, you know what's coming here. You're staying in the prettiest spot in Nebraska. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
I am standing on Scotts Bluff National Monument.
I would have bet money on it. Okay.
At the top, you can look out and see the towns that are nearby, but you can just see out for a long distance. You look east, you start seeing the sand hills and the prairie. You look west, more of the bluffs. It is just beautiful. I love it.
Excellent. And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in Nebraska.
So I was trying to think of what to say here. I don't know if you guys have heard of, we have a couple of different foods, but I don't know if other people do chili and cinnamon rolls. But that's like a popular
not intentionally. Wait, chili and cinnamon rolls, like cinnamon rolls with chili on top?
So what you do is you have a bowl of chili, you have a cinnamon roll on the side, and you dunk the cinnamon roll into the chili.
Huh.
It's so good. That's the only way growing up, that was the only way I would eat chili. But that's a huge Nebraska food that I didn't realize until I left the state. That wasn't a normal thing.
I thought Cincinnati chili on spaghetti was odd, but okay.
This, that is not see, this what gets you of. The savory and the sweet going for you.
No, I get the savory and the sweet. I get that. I've done the fries with your ice cream or things like that. You said a couple of foods. So
So the other thing, I don't know if you've heard of Runza. That's a popular fast food restaurant in Nebraska. It's only in Nebraska. I think there might be a couple of like border towns in other states that have a Runza. But basically what
how do you spell that?
R-U-N-Z-A.
Okay.
And so basically it's like a hot pocket, but it's like, and cabbage, and it's more of that German vibe to it. It's hard to explain, but
almost more Czech or Slav. Yeah.
And so it's just, it's a very popular
food. And apparently you could also get chili and cinnamon rolls at Runza.
Yes. And this is the time of year to do it.
Okay.
So yeah, Runza is a huge fast food restaurant in Nebraska, throughout Nebraska. And it's got its own kind of, meal to it. So like the sandwich hot pocket thing is called a Runza, but then the restaurant is also called Runza as well.
Okay.
Yep. So definitely.
I would eat one. I don't know about the cinnamon rolls, but I would eat a Runza. So excellent. Our guest again has been Olivia Weisler. And again, from oliviaweisler.wixsite.com. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And you're working on a blog. So when you get your blog on Nebraska up and running, let me know. We'll update the show notes with your new blog URL.
Definitely. For sure. Thank you so much for having me, Chris. I appreciate it.
But I'm told at your current website, we can find some articles on Nebraska. What's your best article there that we want to send people to?
Yes. So I was trying to decide. Think where you could go is I have a couple of articles on like Scotts Bluff, like the history of Scotts Bluff. And I believe there's one on there about where you can see the ruts. There's a historian that I spoke with who knows a lot about the area.
And is that a historian from the Legacy of the Plains Museum in Scotts Bluff?
She used to work there, but now she's just like doing her own projects, I believe. But yeah, she used to work at the Legacy of the Plains Museum, and I totally meant to mention them, but I forgot.
I had a link to it, so I thought you probably left that one out. Okay.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, so Legacy of the Plains Museum, another interactive museum, talks about Oregon Trail. They host a lot of different festivals and stuff like that. That's actually where I learned about the Quilt Museum. Yeah, definitely check that out as well. So the first one is called Historian Leads Local Tours of Oregon Trail History. So that one talks a little bit about the trails that she takes you on and tells you a little bit about all the different rock formations in the area. And if she's still hosting those trails, I would definitely hit her up because she took me on one and it was awesome. She is so informative.
Okay.
The second one is another local historian that I spoke with. This one is called Historian Jerry Lucas Shares His 15 Years of Research on the Legend of Hiram Scott. And so this I thought was a super interesting story. This was where you'll learn a little more about why Scott's Bluff was named what it was named and just a little bit about the history and the path around it and everything. So
excellent. Olivia Weisler, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for Nebraska.
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
One correction for this episode, which will be fixed in the show notes, is we got the URL wrong for Olivia's blog. So check out the show notes for that because it's kind of long to say. Special thanks go to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in becoming a patron of the show because you've had a great trip because Amateur Traveler helped, then go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler to learn more. Speaking of, if you've been on a trip after you've listened to an Amateur Traveler episode, it's coming up on the end of the year, and one of the things that I do at the end of the year is I update my media kit. And one of the things I'm always looking for is quotes from people who listen to the show, how it's affected your travels. So if you've had a better trip because you heard the Amateur Traveler, let me know where you went and what difference it made, because I like to put those kind of quotes in the media kit so that people who are looking at sponsoring the show, for instance, or at having me come someplace can know that people listen to the show and find some value in it. So if you're interested in that, drop me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. And with that, we're going to end this episode of the Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And as always, thanks so much for listening.